that MCC had trounced the full Western Australian stateside by 10 wickets only the week before would count for little if the tourists arrived in their next port of call, Adelaide in South Australia, having been turned over by a country side, albeit one strengthened by several international class imports for the occasion. It would be an open invitation to the Australian press to have a field day. While members of all English teams in the Antipodes got used to derision ringing in their ears, it was doubly worse when it was actually justified. However, that Sunday the tourists awakened, looking forward to a day off before, hopefully much refreshed, resuming the good fight on Monday morning. In between now and then they would skirt, as seasoned sportsmen often will, around the sports pages of the Sunday newspapers in the lobby of their hotel. Some men planned to attend local churches, others to walk down to the seafront, and several had scheduled rounds of golf. Today was a day to hang up their cricketing whites, to don their civvies, and to enjoy the still parochial charm of Australia's garden city by the Indian Ocean. But of course, the world had changed overnight. When the English tourists straggled back to the hotel that afternoon as the first dreadful rumours began to circulate, it was to discover that for all anybody knew, England no longer existed. Their families at home, wives, children, brothers, sisters, parents, uncles and aunts, cousins and friends were most likely dead. Their homes, their country was gone, and suddenly they were all that was left. The Reverend David Shepherd, the 33-year-old Sussex amateur, who had dropped out of cricket for several years to devote himself to missionary work in the East End of London, an area still recovering from the disaster of the Blitz of 1940-41, before returning to the game to reclaim his place at the top of the England batting order, responded by leading the majority of his fellows in prayers. Ted Dexter, the man who by default had ended up captaining the tourists that winter, stood up and addressed his men and the shell-shocked, numb-brained pressmen travelling with the MCC party, like the old-fashioned imperial proconsul that so many people actually thought he was. The manager of the party, the Duke of Norfolk, was a man in mourning, sporadically venting outbursts of encouragement and defiance, but otherwise initially rather lost. Perhaps it was the one and only Fred Truman, a man whose Yorkshire grit and never-say-die obstinacy best summed up the mood of the team that evening in Perth. "Bloody hell," he complained to a group of journalists, as he elbowed his way through the throng to the hotel bar. "Thank goodness, at least you can get a drink on a Sunday in this country." And later, appropriately lubricated, he prognosticated, "Well, I suppose there's nothing for it but to bloody well get on with it." It became the rallying cry of the tour, a cricketing odyssey which has gone down in the annals of the game as the moment England bloody well got on with it. Cricket on the Beach is this author's homage to the gallant cricketers who, more than any other group of Englishmen, forged a new and lasting unbreakable bond which endures to this day in the Australasian British psyche. M.J. Christopher, Garden City Press, New London, 27th of October 2012.